Well, welcome everybody. I'm glad that you're here with us today. We'll join. Welcome the multi-sites that are joining us as well, and everyone on the TV and on the stream. We're glad that you're a part. Before we get into our talk about worry today, I thought it might be important for me to give you parents an opportunity to sign your teenager up for this year's rally. It's just a few weeks away. We only have a few more spots remaining, and if you haven't signed your kiddo up yet for rally, it's a three-day event. It's always the highlight of the summer. You can sign your student up on the Sagebrush app. Just click on the banner and get them signed up and get them registered. So don't delay. I know we live in the land of manana. Please don't wait off on this. Just go ahead and get it done. We are in the middle of a series called I Quit. A couple of weeks ago, we started the series talking about we quit making excuses, because whenever we picked an area of our life that we know we need to give up on or quit on, we always come up with a reason or an excuse as to why we can't do it. And then last week, we looked at I quit complaining, and we learned to be a thankful and grateful person, to focus on what we do have rather than on what we don't have. And I gave you a homework assignment. I said every night before you go to bed or every morning when you get up, write two things that you're thankful for. I hope that you've done that. I did that this week. I hope that you're doing that with me as well. And we said we're going to do that for the rest of our life, because what happens to us is we always seem to go back to a tendency of being a complaining person when we want to be a grateful person. So today we're going to talk about worry. There was a mom and dad, and they were pacing the floor back and forth. Their teenage son had not come home. He was late for his curfew. It was already past midnight, and as each minute ticked by, their anxiety, their stress, their worry went up another notch as well. 12:15 came and went. They called him on the phone. He didn't answer. They texted him. No response. They called his friends, texted his friends, got no response from them as well. 12:30 comes rolling around, 12:45, just a few minutes before 1 o'clock in the morning, the mom looks at the dad and she says, "I think we ought to call the police, tell them we don't know where our son is at. Something terrible has happened." Just as they're getting ready to make the phone call, the young man walks through the door. He said, "Mom, Dad, I'm home, and whatever the punishment is, it was worth it." That's what he said to him. Now, that's a kid that needs some punishment, I tell you what. We're going to talk about worrying today. And so many times we build things up into our mind. So let's take a little test to see how much of a worry wart we actually are. You give yourself a point if any of these things are true about you. Number one, you find yourself laughing less than you once did. Like if you didn't laugh at that first joke, just give yourself a point right now, okay? How about number two? You assume that something bad is going to happen. It's like you know the other shoe is going to drop. Something else bad is just around the corner. If that's what you have in your mind, give yourself a point. Number three, when you worry, do you think your worrying will prevent the worst from actually happening? It's like your worries are stopping what you think about from actually taking place. So you say to yourself, "I've got to worry about this, because if I don't worry about this, then this is what's going to happen." If that's you, give yourself a point. Number four, do you worry about your health, your family, or your future? Give yourself a point. Number five, do your worries keep you up at night at least once a week as you run different scenarios through your head? Now, if that's true, give yourself a point. Friends, we live in a very anxious society, don't we? In fact, there's been one survey after another survey, one study done after another study, and it says this, that the United States of America is the most anxious nation on planet Earth. I was reading a book the other day by Max Lucado called Anxious for Nothing, and he mentioned these different studies that have taken place. Did you know that people who live in other countries other than the United States, they experience 1/5 the anxiety that you and I experience? We are the most anxious people. And here's what's interesting. Their living conditions aren't near as good as our living conditions. And yet we're the ones carrying around the worry and the anxiety and the stress every single day. Now, the question comes to mind is, why is this? Why are we such an anxious people? Well, researchers say that in the last 30 years, there have been more societal changes than in the last 300 years. Did you get what I just said? Over the last 30 years, there's been more changes than over the course of 300 years before that combined. And the things that were supposed to help us, the things that were supposed to relieve our anxiety, the things that were supposed to bring more enjoyment to our life, just messed us up all the more. So let's talk about a few of these things that have changed over the last 30 years. One of the things that has changed is the simple fact that we have a 24-hour news cycle now, don't we? 24 hours a day, you can get all the news that you want to get, whether you really want it or not. And all the news is bad news, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that? It's all about global warming or nuclear war or terrorism that's taking place. And just when we get done with one crisis, guess what? Tomorrow, there's another crisis on the horizon for you to be anxious and for you to be worried about. And this is the way the news cycle is. They want you fearful. You understand that, right? They want you to be worried. That's the only way they can grab your attention. That's the only way that you keep coming to that. And if you don't like your 24-hour news cycle on your stream or on your TV, you can always get your news right there on your app. You can get the news by Googling anything you want on the internet. You can find out all kinds of things to be stressed out about. So what was supposed to be a good thing actually turns out to be a bad thing for our mental health. Let me give you another one. You ready for this? Study after study has proven this one as well. We thought social media was going to help us. Didn't we? We thought, well, this will be great. We can post some pictures and it'll be wonderful. And we can stay in contact with family and friends, people who live in other states. This will be great. That's what it was supposed to be. But it became something else, didn't it? It became a great competition. Who can get the most followers? Who can get the most likes? Who can get the most shares? Who can make the most money off of social media? And now you have friends, you know, and they post all the time, and you're looking at your friends' post, and looks like their life is better than your life. Looks like they're having more excitement than you're having, and all of a sudden you begin to worry that maybe you're missing out on something, and why is their life better than yours? And it brings about stress. It brings about anxiety. The other day, I was scrolling through some reels. I was on Facebook because I'm old. If you're over a certain age, you're on Facebook. If you're younger than that, then it's Instagram. Just want you to know, if you're over 50, step away from the Instagram. I'm just telling you that right now. It's not for you. It's not for you. So I'm on the Facebook, and I got 20 minutes to burn, and I'm flipping through some reels, you know, looking at the different little videos people have put together. And this is supposed to be a fun time for me. This is supposed to be entertainment. I'm hoping I find somebody, you know, tripping over something and, you know, crashing and burning, you know, kind of funny little videos that you have from time to time, or funny little jokesters that come on there and entertain me for a little bit, and I'm laughing and don't have a care in the world. That's not the kind of reels that I got on this particular day. I got reels that I shouldn't be doing this, and I ought to be doing this, and since I'm not doing that, then I might be doing this, and this will happen as a result of that, and so now I have cancer. I didn't know I had cancer until I watched that reel, and now I think I have all the symptoms of cancer, and I'm pretty sure I've got cancer. Thankfully, I don't have cancer, but that reel brought my level of anxiety up to a whole new level. What was supposed to be fun absolutely freaked me out in the end. So it was supposed to be a good thing. But let me ask you something. After you've been on social media, do you feel more relaxed? Do you feel calmer? Do you feel better about yourself? Or do you feel like you're lacking? Or new thoughts of anxiety and worry have come up in your mind as a result? Let me give you another one that's changed over the last 30 years. We now have Ring doorbell cameras. And that brings about anxiety. Because now you can be consumed with who's at your front door. And most of the time it's the wind, right? And the notifications come off, and you look at it and say, who's at my front door? And there's nobody there. It's just the wind that's been blowing. That's all that it is. You know, when I was a kid, people actually looked forward to people coming to the front door. We don't anymore. We don't want anybody coming to our front door. But back in my day, when I was a kid, somebody would ring the doorbell, people would run to the front door. Who could it be? Is it someone's friend? Is it a neighbor? We never thought it would be a solar panel salesman. We never thought about that for a second. I'll tell you that right now. We were excited, but now the doorbell rings, and what do? Shh. Get down. Get out. Step away from the window. Shh. Let me open up the app. See who it is. The app's not working. Just keep it down for 5 minutes. Maybe they'll go away. Isn't that the way it is nowadays? And some of you are now on these neighborhood watch apps. Anybody on the neighborhood watch app, just out of curiosity? You're sick. You know that? You've got it. You're going to have anxiety issues from like nobody's business. Because you're going to know about every package that was stolen, every car that was broken into, every attempted burglary that took place in your neighborhood. You're just going to be so stressed out. You're like, my neighborhood's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you right now, I'm getting these notifications. It's absolutely terrible. You see how we do this to ourselves? And we wonder why we're so stressed out. There's many reasons why we're stressed out. Just any encounter, relational stresses that we have. Friend comes up to you. I bet you got some friend that's facing something bad. They got a foreclosure. They've got more debt than they can handle. They're got a diagnosis that they're worried about. They just got diagnosed with cancer, or they have heart disease. Their marriage isn't going very well. And you hear all these different things that are happening to your friends, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, and I'll pray for you about that. But then you walk away and think, oh my goodness, that could have happened to me. And it brings about stress and anxiety to you. And then you got your own stresses, right? You're probably worried about your marriage. You're worried about your kids. You got more month than you've got money, and the bills just keep piling up. Isn't this the most encouraging talk you've ever heard in your entire life? You ready to hear what Jesus has to say about worry? He says you don't have to. One day he's up on the side of a mountain. He's given the greatest sermon that's ever been given. In the midst of that, he tells the people that are there not to worry. He says, you don't have to worry. Now I want you to think about this. The people in the first century had it a whole lot harder than we have it today. They didn't have modern conveniences. They didn't have beautiful homes like we have. The people that Jesus is talking to are seriously poor. And they really have no hope of it getting any better for them. They don't have any educational background. They don't have the ability to write. They don't have the ability to read. So their situation is not going to get any better. And I looked this up this past week. Did you know in the first century, the average age life expectancy was 30 years old? And that was because there was such a large number of babies that were dying, infant mortality that was happening. So if somehow you made it through the first 5 years of your life, well, you might live to be 30, 40, 50 at tops, 60 years old. So these people have got terrible living conditions. They're poor as they can be, and they're struggling just to make ends meet. And Jesus looks out at them and says, you don't have to worry. In fact, I'm commanding you not to worry. Let's look at what Jesus said. He said, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all the splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus tells us two reasons why we shouldn't worry. Write them down if you're taking notes. Number one is this: worry doesn't work. Jesus asked the question, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Worrying won't cure you of cancer. Worrying won't get you a date. Worrying won't fix your marriage. Worry won't protect your children. And worry won't get you out of debt. Do you know why we worry? Because we think we're in control. Isn't that funny? But when it comes right down to it, we're not in control of that much. That'll give you a reason to worry tonight, don't you think? You're just not in control of that many things. Let me ask you a question. Can you control your health? No, you cannot. You wish you could. They will try to tell you that you can, but you can't. You can eat all the right foods. You can go and do all the cardio that you need to do. You can pump all the iron that you need to, and you'll die healthy. Right? That's the way that that works. You can't control that. You can't control the stock market, your 401k, your 403b. Can you control the stock market? No, all you do is you hope. You have some hopes that maybe, you know, when it's time to retire, that that's going to be worth a little bit more than it is right now. And you watch that thing go up and down and up and down. And if you get too consumed with that, you're going to be an anxious, worried, and stressed out person. Because you know you can't control it. You can't even control your spouse. Some of you are shaking your head, yes, I can. No, you can't. This is why you're worried about your marriage, because you think you can control your spouse. You can't even control another person. You ready for this? The only thing you can control, you ready, is your choices. That's it. And guess what? With the rest of it, you get to trust God. And let's be honest, that's what makes us worried. Because we're not certain he's trustworthy. Bottom line is, all you can do is what you can do, and then you have to trust God to do what he can do. So let's talk about getting rid of our worries, or at least lessening our worries. Let's get practical for a second. Let's say you don't have a job. Okay, you can sit around your house and you can worry that you're going to get a job someday and no job's going to come your direction. Or you can do what you can do, and then you can allow God to do what only God can do. So what can you do? Well, you can get a nice shirt and you can iron it. Maybe put a tie on, get a nice outfit, ladies. And then you could put a resume together, and you could go put the resume out online, and then you could field interviews, you know, on the phone. And then when it's time for you to meet in person, you could put a stick of gum in your mouth before you go in, spit it out before you go into the place, and then have a great interview, and maybe you'll get a job. You do what you can do. God will do what he can do. So what in the world are you worried about? Some of you are here today, and you really want to be married. And you're worried about it. You're like, oh my goodness, I don't know that I'm like, I might go my whole life and I'll never find that significant person to spend the rest of my life with. All right, you can sit at home and you can worry about it and hope that maybe the solar panel person will be someone you're attracted to because they'll come to your door. You'll fall in love and live happily ever after, right? Or maybe it's the Amazon guy, I don't know. You can stay at home and worry about it, or you could shower, brush your teeth, put on something cute, something handsome, you know, splash on some perfume, some cologne, not too much, we don't want to look desperate. You could go out with your other Christian friends where other Christians hang out. You could be nice. You could say hello. You could tell your friends to introduce you around. You do what you do, and then let God orchestrate that person coming into your life when you're ready for that person to come in your life. But worrying about it's not going to change any of it. You're worried about your debt, okay? You can sit around and worry that more money will come in. It will not. Or you can put yourself on a budget, spend less than you make, and put together a debt snowball and start attacking one debt after the other. Let you do what you know you need to do, and then God will do what he needs to do. You're worried about your weight. Okay, step away from the hot fudge sundae and nobody will get hurt, okay? Go home, empty out your pantry of every delicious food, and starve yourself for the next 30 days. I think you'll be in good shape at that point. Call it fasting. I don't know. Don't do that. Your doctor would not want you to do that. Worry doesn't change anything. Sitting around worrying about it, being anxious about it, doesn't change up. It doesn't change a thing. All you can do is what you can do. And if you've done all you can do, then let God do only what he can do and trust in him. Because worry doesn't work. Let me give you the second thing. God has your back and he cares about you. And that's what we're worried about. Does he really care about me? Is he really going to come through for me? Does he really see my need? Does he really see what I'm facing? That's what we're worried about, isn't it? Look at what he says again. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We worry because we're concerned that God isn't concerned about our life. So let me ask the parents here a question. How many of you are concerned about your child's well-being? Raise your hand up real high. Now, I'm worried because not every parent raised their hand. I don't know what to tell you about that. What in the world is going on with that? Yeah, you care. You care more about your child's well-being than you care about your own. Right? So why in the world do you think God doesn't care about you? He cares about your marriage. He cares about your job. He cares about your future. He cares about your anxiety. He cares about your fears. If it concerns you, it concerns him. He cared so much about you that he came for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose again from the dead for you. He's preparing a place for you in heaven to be with you forever. That's how much he cares about you. And yet we still question it, don't we? So Jesus says, well, look at the birds. Aren't you much more valuable than birds? And so I looked up some things on birds this past week, and I said, what is it about the birds? Here's what I found that was interesting. Did you know a bird eats 2 to 3 times their body weight every single day? That's a fat little bird, isn't it? 2 to 3 times their body weight. You know, I've never seen a bird pacing back and forth on a branch going, I wonder if I'm going to get a worm tomorrow. I'm just so worried about it right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. Never had that happen. I just see them stick their fat little chest out with their fat little faces. That's what I see when I look at the birds, right? He says, aren't you much more valuable than birds? And yet your heavenly Father, he takes care of all those birds. He says, consider the lilies of the field. He says, who takes care of the lilies of the field? Nobody was taking care of the lilies of the field. Only God took care of the lilies of the field. He said, they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Aren't you much more valuable than the lilies of the field? What do you have to worry about? He's got it. He's got it for you. He's got it under control. Have you ever gone a week without food? From the looks of you, none of you ever have. Ever. Including myself. You ever walked into the closet and said, I don't have anything to wear? Okay, that's not a good illustration. You got clothes. You got clothes. We worry about all these things, and yet God prepares them for us every day. And I always have the question, how many meals does he have to provide before you trust him? How many prayers does he have to answer before you finally trust him? How many more ways does he have to come through for you until you finally trust him? I remember years ago, my oldest daughter came to me. She had moved out of the house, and she was living on her own, and she was concerned. She was worried. She said, Dad, I'm concerned about paying this month's rent. I think I'm going to come a little short. And I said, that's too bad. Sorry to hear that. Might want to get another job. She says, Billy, I've been tight. You know, I barely make it every month. It's just a stress every single month. And then I had a flat tire the other day, and I had to go to Discount Tire and take care of it. And it was more expensive than I thought it was going to be. And I think I'm going to be a little bit short. And I'm also concerned. She started spiraling. She said, I'm also concerned, Dad, that I'm not going to have a job in a week or two. If things aren't good, the job aren't going so well. And I think they're going to try to get rid of me. And I'm trying to work things out there. And then she's spiraling some more. And she says, and my boyfriend, I'm not even sure my boyfriend loves me, that he cares about me, that he has any kind of plans for me, any kind of future with me. She's just going off. And I'm just sitting there listening to it all. And I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, has there ever been a time when you weren't worried? And she thought about it for a second. And she said, yeah, when I was a kid. I said, why weren't you worried when you were a kid? She said, well, I never worried about the rent. I never worried about, you know, food. Because I knew you and Mom would take care of me. I never worried about the electric bill. I never worried about the water bill. And I said, that's true. You left every light on and you took 30-minute showers. You little sinner, I tell you what. Well, I knew you'd have it. I knew everything would be okay because I knew you and Mom would do everything to protect me, keep me safe. You get my point? She's right. I will do whatever it takes to protect her and to keep her safe. And here I am, this sinner, and yet I have this kind of deep affection and deep love for my children. How much more so does our Father in heaven have a deep love for you? You don't have to worry about it. He's got it. He loves you. He cares for you. But at what point in time will you finally trust it? How do we break the back of worry? Well, he says two things here. One, seek him first. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So let me ask you a question. What are you worried about today that's going to matter 50 years from now? 50 years from now, I'm going to be dead. So none of it's going to matter to me. And from the looks of you, you're going to be dead too. A lot of you are, I think for sure, I tell you what. You worry about this and you worry about that, and 5 weeks from now, you're not even going to remember what it was about. Sometimes 5 hours. But some of us have got ourselves so worked up, you've got to come up with something to worry about, or you feel like if you don't find something to worry about, then something's wrong that you should be worrying about it. You got nothing. If you're a follower of Jesus, you got nothing. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's immediate. These things that we face today, they're light and momentary troubles compared with the surpassing greatness of what we're going to see, of what we're going to experience. We haven't seen anything yet. What in the world can this world throw at us that should freak us out or make us afraid? Our home isn't even this place. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? That's good. I like that, Todd. That's good. That's good right there. I struggle with worry. And I've told you that before. In the last, year and a half, I've gone through quite a few things. And it's been rough. And it's kind of like God is saying, well, let's see what kind of faith you really have in me. And what I found out over the last year and a half, is that my faith in God wasn't as strong as it needed to be. And I've spent the last year and a half strengthening that. Because the things that used to really frustrate me and scare me, well, I'm starting to find some confidence. And you say, well, how'd you find it, Todd? Because I'm not the only person that struggles with anxiety from time to time. Some of us struggle with it on a daily basis. So what'd I do? What turned it around for me? I started listening to worship music a lot more. I've always listened to worship music, but when I found myself becoming anxious and stressed out, I just cranked up the tunes. And I would just sing my songs to the Lord, and there was something about singing those defiant lyrics that we sing around here all the time. It all of a sudden just brought peace inside of me. It brought confidence. It gave me courage to believe that God was still in control. God was still on the throne. So if you're struggling with worry and anxiety, crank up the worship tunes. Put together a really good worship playlist. I think that would help you an awful lot. Second thing I started doing is I started taking prayer even more seriously. I shoot up short little prayers all day long, but I started spending time casting my cares upon the Lord because he cares for me. And naming those things and stopping in the moment and saying, I'm having an anxious moment right now, Lord, and I need you to take it. I need you to help me. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to give me your perspective on this. And that has worked again and again and again. It's called putting your faith in action. And then the third thing that I do is I read God's word. And I've always read God's word. But I read God's word now. I highlight it. I underline it. I put stars by it. And I'm looking for verses of scripture that give me courage in the midst of pain. Do you know when you read the Bible, you don't find anybody who had an easy life? Do you ever catch that? Everybody has a cruddy life just like you. You get that? I mean, everybody has heartache. Everybody has pain. And yet they have a defiant faith that says, blessed be the name of the Lord no matter what. And that's the kind of faith that I'm trying to develop, and that's the kind of faith you need to develop as well. So what do? We seek God first. It's not something we say. It's not some cliche. You have to live it out. Because either your worries are going to get the best of you or God is going to get the best of you. Let me give you the second thing. We got to train ourselves to take it one day at a time. I've really worked hard on this one too. Therefore, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, that's really encouraging, isn't it? What's the forecast for tomorrow? Well, let's be honest, it's trouble. Day after that, more trouble. A week from now, trouble. In this life, you will have trouble, but you take heart. He's overcome this world. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. So let's look back at the birds. He said, consider the birds. Okay, let's consider them. What happens to birds? Well, demon-possessed cats stalk them out and kill them, don't they? What else happens to birds? Snakes come and they eat their eggs. Birds die in car accidents all the time. How many times you're driving down the road and there's a bird there on the road and you're like, and he doesn't. And you're like, bum, bum, right? Unfortunately, I've killed a few birds along the way. You say, Todd, this is so encouraging. Thanks. Let's keep it real. What's the forecast? Trouble. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, though. Let's just take care of today, because today's got enough trouble on its own. Well, you're not helping with my anxiety at all, Todd. No, this is Jesus's point. Trouble's coming. You might be in trouble right now. I've got you right now, and I'll have you tomorrow. I'll have you a year from now, 5 years from now. I'll never leave you or forsake you. No matter what you face, you will never face it alone. And when those moments of trouble come, you will find that I am greater still, that I will be the peace that you need. I will be the calm in the midst of the chaos. I will get you through it. So don't worry about it. When it comes, it comes. Birds aren't worrying about it today. When it comes, it comes. It's coming for all of us. But don't worry about it. He'll be there in the midst of it. And you will be so overwhelmed by his presence that it'll be undeniable how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. So you have a choice today, right? We can worry about it and see nothing change, or we can trust God and see that he's able to get us through it. What you're worrying about today is what you're trusting yourself for. And what you're praying about today is what you're trusting God with. And that's what it gets down to. Anytime you have a worry, it shows a lack of faith. It shows that you don't trust God. It's like God giving you opportunity to put up or shut up, and you're shutting up when you should be putting up and looking up to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. He's got me this far. He's never going to leave me. He'll get me to the end, and he'll get me on the other side. So what in the world do I have to worry about? He's got this. Now, some of you are here today. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You came as a result of somebody inviting you to come, and I'm glad that you're here, and you're facing trouble and worries and anxiety and stress, and here's what makes me sad. You're facing it all on your own. I used to live that way. There is a God who loved you so much that he became flesh and walked among us, died on a cross for your sin, rose again from the dead so that you would never be alone, so that you would never face anything alone. And here's his invitation. This is what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you're letting worry and strife and stress get the best of you, today's the day. Repent of your sin. Just tell him, I don't want to live like that anymore. Trust Jesus to be the leader and forgiver of your life. And cast your worries aside and keep your eyes on Jesus, and he'll get you through it. In just a second, I'm going to pray. Pastors are going to come out. They're going to stand here at the very front. I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. Opportunity for you to come down to the very front, shake the hand of one of the pastors and say, I want Jesus in my life. I'm tired of doing this on my own. I'm tired of fear and worry and anxiety getting the best of me. I'm ready to get my life right with the Lord. And if you're ready to do that today, just understand this. We're going to applaud thunderously for you because the Bible says that God is applauding because he's wanted this relationship with you even before he formed you in your mother's womb. So let's pray, and then you be the first one to come forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your will to be done, for all the worried and anxious, for all those who are weary and heavy laden. Lord, you're the only one that can give rest. You're the only one that can be the peace in the midst of it all. So I pray, Lord, for a moment of courage. Lord, if they came with someone today, I pray they'd just kind of hit them right now and say, would you walk down there with me? Lord, that they'd get their life right with you. We were never made to do life on our own. We need you. I know I do. And I pray, Lord, that this would be the moment that we'd realize that and we would ask you into our life by coming down to the very front. Lord, your will be done. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.